You don't have to like my methods. I don't even always like my methods. But let me tell you this, after 17 years laboring, full time, seeking what God would have for me in ministry, I am what I am by the grace of God. You think it's bad now? You should have seen it over 25 years ago. And you may not like how I do it. And I get run out of churches because of how we do it. There's some folks in this room appreciate it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't play around. Listen, we'll joke, have a good time. I'll make fun of you. I'm going to preach lost church members until they all get saved. Who in the world would get offended by that? Spirit-filled folk. When he said, great peace, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's not the method, it's the message. Right. Dale referenced a little bit of this earlier. What do dogs respond to? Noise and motion. That's what animals respond to. Anybody can respond to noise. You're too loud. It's too loud in here. He waves his arms around, he moves around too much. I've heard it all. That's what animals respond to. That's what the natural man responds to. It's just noise.
Go ahead.
The Spirit of God speaks to your heart. He takes these words and pricks your heart with them. And if you don't obey God, all you're going to hear is noise.
Yeah, that's good, brother.
Stephen. I don't remember all the details. I'd be foolish to try. Would you mind testifying when you were a teenage boy at the Hamburg tent meeting under conviction? Would you talk about that just a moment?
Personally, I don't remember the details.
You don't remember the details as much either.
My father remembers it well.
But it might not. Stephen's sitting there under conviction, troubled about his soul, 15, 16 years old, saying, this is gay. This is gay. This is gay. Is that...
Yes, that's exactly
the correct story. More than 10 years later.
Oh, he suffered.
Fighting through addiction, life of sin.
Brother, God turned me over to a reprobate mind. Those things that it speaks of in Romans. I did not care for the things of God. But God in his mercy kept me alive.
That's what he did.
I did not care.
He said God turned him over to a reprobate mind. But then God in his mercy brought him and his new bride back to New York.
God bless her.
In strange situations. She uprooted from a life that she had and got put in Western New York, the armpit of America. Married John Lennon. I'm not like Brother Black. I wouldn't embarrass her for anything. But I remember when she had red hair. I thought, boy, that's unusual. Amen. Those picking on him. He had this little scraggly beard, shaggy headed. God got a hold of him.
Yes.
I'm going to preach to our church tonight. I don't want this to be the Black Creek Show. What I ask with is trained to people that want to be into preaching. They go to meetings. Some have been mocked and made fun of. What are your followers of Tim McVeigh? No, they're just people that we've had influence on that love our ministry. because of the word of God. We have a few in our church, but not many, because they just have religion. They go to meetings and they pay the price. We had folks drive 4 hours each way last week to come each night of the meeting to bend to preaching. This is our sixth week in a row of preaching. I felt better today than I felt in probably 3 weeks. Just the mercy of God. My knees about blowed out. My voice about shot. My family's about to fall apart. God was good to us today.
Amen.
I know Bible reading is important. My wife came down this morning to read her Bible. I just laid my Bible down. I said, come here. We just smooched. She kept saying things like, stop, stop, stop. It's 6 in the morning. That doesn't mean anything to some of you, but we've been on the road, staying in the room with our children for weeks. It doesn't bother some of you. It sure does bother me. I'm a man, buddy. Come here, baby. Come up here. We've been in Maine. We've been in North Carolina. We spent 2 weeks in New York. All last week, coming over here in Blaine, Pennsylvania. And she's grumbled, whined, and fussed the whole way. And folks that she's prayed for and labored over, she's pled with them to come to the meeting. They say, oh, I'm tired tonight.
Oh, God. They don't know.
Just don't feel good tonight. You can ask her, oh, boy, cried all evening because he has to come to church tonight because his dad is a preacher. And he's been in church more than all of you the last 6 weeks. Probably about as much as most you put together. And then people say, I don't like the way you do things. What's the point of all this? Why do you have those meetings? Because of you.
Amen.
Because of the Son of God.
Amen.
He gave himself for you.
Amen.
Not only did this because we go home tonight, my wife's going to be dead tired. She's going to want to go to bed. So I'll just get one in while I can. We find a babysitter, I go home. Don't let that bother you. See, I don't like all that talk. Yeah, a lot of gays don't. But I like it. Thank God for my wife for her help to me. She said, you want to make breakfast? I said, no to you. She said, no. Went down to McDonald's and got us a good breakfast this morning. Yeah. It was funny. Now, any of you men been a busy week, tired and all that, this be a good time. Go ahead and still smooch in. I won't look. Amen. This be a good time for Stephen, Samantha. Go ahead. Amen. Now listen.
Tim and Megan stand hard on. You ain't married and you ain't laying a hand in the
Get your eyes checked!
How old are you, Randy?
26.
This is Randy. He's a brunette. He's from New York. He's 26. He has a good job and a new car. 5'9", strong as an ox. And he make a whip two bulls in a fight. Any girls interested? See his mom after service. See if there's any interest. There's a couple. Okay. I took some of the single young men and filed them through the Vadis' kitchen the other week. His brother Rose and his wife and daughters were all sitting there. And I brought them out of the diner and introduced them all like that. Brother Rose just pulled a gun. Sister Rose did not laugh at all. Doll baby didn't laugh either. Let me say this, and I'm not being funny at all, not jocular at all about this. A courtship's a very serious thing. Watch that young couple right there, court. Got two precious children. I believe they have a good home. Screwy as John is, and his wife, even screwier. She's not here, I can say that. They didn't court long, an hour. Look what God's done.
That's right.
Amen. Pastor and his wife, they courted for, was it 3 years? Yeah, were you all 3 years courting?
I think like 30, I thought.
Felt like 30, yeah.
4 years, actually.
It's 4 years of torture, pain, agony. Timothy has to wait 5.
Oh, shoot.
That's what you said. Mrs. Gearhart made me wait 1 year, and I said, I'll show him. I'll schedule 2 weeks before the year's up. I did. Amen. Those last 3 months were rough. Every time she'd open her mouth, her lips were saying, kiss me. I'd done the phone to ring, all I'd hear is kiss me. She never said this, it's all I was hearing. That's right. I'm glad. Hey, it's the first time ever in church somebody thinks I'm funny. I like it. That's right. Amen. That's good. Let me try some jokes, see how they work. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Again, I'm just going to take my time. I know Pastor Haynes is driving home tonight to pray for his safety. If he cuts out, Pastor, I won't be offended at all. If I was you, I would have left 20 minutes ago. That's just me. But I won't be offended at all if you need to leave, Pastor. But thank the Lord he was with us. Amen. Thank the Lord he got to preach in our church. What a blessing that was. If you weren't here for that, the website, onesoulatatime.net, that's the Maury's Ministry website, but it's really become a resource of preaching. The messages are under special services.
They won't be posted until this weekend.
If you stayed at the lodge, you'd have internet.
Well,
but you snobs at the A-frame, they will not be there this weekend, but you can go back and listen to the messages. I recommend you listen to Pastor Haynes' message. Folks in this church with everything I ever had to say. First time they got to hear Pastor Haynes, some of them. Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which were upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. There's a whole message there. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands also shall finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. And let's look at that candlestick. In Exodus 25. Verse 31. Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. A beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same. And a knop under two branches of the same. And a knop under two branches of the same. According to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Now shall it make the seven lamps thereof. And they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. What do those lamps light? The candlestick. What is the sole purpose of those lamps? To give light to that pure gold, beaten work, deity. To give light under the candlestick. Numbers chapter 8. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. All we see thus far is we see a candlestick. It's pure gold. It's beaten gold. We see upon that candlestick are the lamps which give light over unto it. But Zechariah saw those lamps drew golden oil through golden pipes from those two olive trees which stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And with my help tonight, as I go through the scriptures, I want to just kind of try to organize this the best I can. But I need the help of God more than anything else I've needed tonight. I have this in my mind. I have this formulated in my thinking. This is the logic of my way. Take the long way around and just kind of push all the information to the middle, and finally, hopefully, have a finished product. But Father, I'd ask, according to your tender mercies, that tonight we give light under that candlestick. That someone tonight would see that beaten gold and then see the light of his countenance. For the glory of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's go to the book of Revelation. We'll start in chapter 1. In verse 4, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What we see in those two verses, we see the candlestick in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We see those seven lamps upon that beaten work to give light over unto him, for we see the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits which we see before his throne in verse 4. Move down the chapter a little bit. And we see in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Would to God would be in the Spirit on the Lord's day at least once. And also heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks was like one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet burned like unto fine brass, as it had burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, glory be to God, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. In verse 2 again, there's a door open in heaven. I need to be in chapter 4 rather. Let's start the first part of the chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, its sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And notice this. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Did not Zechariah tell us that those same 7 spirits, those same 7 spirits go before the Lord of the whole earth? Did not Zacharias instruct us to see those lamps before the throne of God? And he goes on and he speaks of these spirits, and he speaks of the 7 lamps of fire. And let's look over at chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now notice, there's 7 lamps before the throne of God, which are the 7 spirits of God. We also see the lamb with 7 eyes and 7 horns, the eyes of the Lord, the 7 spirits of God which go forth into the whole earth. Those lamps give light. Those lamps shed light unto him. Those lamps shine as Jesus Christ himself walked amongst those 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 churches. What do those churches do? They give light unto Jesus Christ. What happens if they do not repent? He'll take their candlestick away, and they will no more give light to Christ. They no more will serve a purpose, because they've lost sight of the light of Jesus Christ. Those 7 spirits of God give light at the throne of God. Those 7 spirits of God, the eyes of the Lord that go through the whole earth. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding what? Both the evil and the good. Why is that? Why is it that God has his eyes in the earth, beholding the good, beholding the evil? Because this isn't a figment of our imagination. This is not a Christmas story. This is not a fable. This is the great God of heaven. And he's speaking of his dear son. And he's telling us his son is that candlestick. Those lamps serve one purpose and one purpose only: to give light unto him. And what do we see when we see that pure gold? We see his deity, God in flesh. What do we see when we see that beaten work? We see that man beat him. Man took him. Man hurt him. But it never changed who he was. Think about gold. You can beat it. You can burn it. You can bend it. You can crush it. But you can never change pure gold. Jesus Christ is that candlestick. Jesus Christ is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. Amen. He said, I am the door. So what do? You open the door of the tabernacle. What do you say? I'm the bread of life. What's there on the table? There's the showbread. What's next? That candlestick. The light of the world. Jesus Christ. Zechariah also spoke of 2 olive trees. We'll see them in the book of Revelation in chapter 11. And it was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, "Arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." And in verse 4, he tells you who they are. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." Zechariah saw them, and John saw them. Who are those olive trees? What is their purpose? He said, "If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Now notice a couple of clues here. "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Many years ago, a man said to me, he said, "You can't tell me who those olive trees are." And I said, "Yes, I can." And he said, "But you can't prove it." And I said, "Yes, I can." And he said, "Well, you don't know for sure." And I said, "Yes, I do." And the Lord said, "Prove it." I said, "Uh-oh." Which of the Lord's servants had power to bring fire down from heaven? Which of his servants had power to shut up the heavens that it rained not in the days of his prophecy? Which of God's servants had power over the plagues? And as it says here, over the water to turn it to blood. Which of God's servants had that power? He goes on, he said, "They shall have finished their testimony." Oh, what a glorious thing to finish your testimony. "The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And there the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Make marriage, send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth." Those two prophets are tormenting men today, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Boy, they're tormenting this world today. World hates them. World despises them. They hate old Elijah, the prophet of God. They hate Moses' law, buddy. They despise the law of God. How dare God stand between them and their goals and their objectives in their life? "And the 3 days and a half, the spirit of life." Our sister read that verse in Romans 1 and 2. "The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And look what God does for them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither." Now, I want you to notice this. They send up into heaven in a cloud. Well, that's kind of unusual, isn't it? Well, one of them had already gone up in fire. I guess a cloud wasn't too much different for him. They sent into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Jesus Christ says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." When does he fulfill that? When he says, "Come up hither." There's no more law, there's no more prophets. Read your Bible. What's the next great event that comes on the scene? Man, I see a white horse from heaven.
Amen.
They go into heaven, and he comes down. When he comes down, he will be King of Kings. He will be Lord of Lords. But Stephen, he is the Word of God. That's his name. The Word of God. So Jesus didn't come to destroy them. But he said, I'm not coming to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So when does this take place? Well, you can contend with me if you want. But when they leave, all's fulfilled. Yeah. Except for one great event. And that's Jesus Christ on that white horse. Coming back to rule and to reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the law and the prophets will have been fulfilled. Let's look again at Matthew 17. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You think God doesn't see you? Those seven spirits of God, spirit of holiness, spirit of truth, spirit of faith, those seven spirits of God in the congregation tonight, searching hearts, beholding the evil and the good. Those seven spirits of God, those eyes of the Lord are in this place, reading men's hearts, watching men, pondering on men, speaking to men, ministering to men, and his ear is open unto their cry. He's listening for that one little lamb, that one sheep that's lost. He's not looking for the 99. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If that's you tonight, his ear is open unto your cry. He is listening for you to cry. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother. And it's interesting, John knew a lot about them because he'd met them before. So when he saw them in Revelation, it didn't faze John one bit. He brought them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now, why do you suppose they're talking with Jesus Christ? Because he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Who's the lawgiver? That one that turns the river to blood. That one that calls plagues upon the earth. Who is the prophet, the great prophet Elijah? That one that God called into heaven, never tasted death. In the Old Testament. I just like to throw that out to the bottom of the theologians. Amen. I said in the Old Testament. And they're sitting there talking with Jesus Christ. They're speaking of things which are to come. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here if thou wilt. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. They knew who they were. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son. We're not making monuments to the law and the prophets. We make much about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. The disciples heard it. They fell on their faces and was sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Mark chapter 9. Verse 4. Again, well, verse 3, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so there's no fuller on earth can wipe them. There appeared to them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. But notice what this said. But he wist not what to say. He just had to talk. He's Peter. For they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. One more reference, Luke chapter 9 and verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. And then notice verse 31. This is really kind of the key to really my thinking in this. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What were they speaking of? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Why are they speaking of these things? Because they spoke of them before.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right, brother.
That's all they spoke about. Moses went in that cleft of the rock, saw the hinder parts of God as he passed by. God could not completely reveal himself to Moses, but Moses spake to God face to face. He was the lawgiver. Man chosen. Moses' law reveals Jesus Christ. You see him in the offering. You see him in the sacrifice. You see him in the holiness of the law.
Yes.
And then Elijah represents the prophets. What did he speak of? He spoke of the death of Christ, the sufferings of Christ. For he was wounded for our transgressions, the prophets of God. So not only do we see a representation, we see an understanding now that those two olive trees who stand before the Lord of the whole earth, they give golden oil out of themselves. What is that golden oil? One gives the law, one gives the prophets. If you never take the time to read the preface of your King James Bible, you know what the King James Bible translators say? They didn't talk about the oil. But they said there's two golden pipes out of this olive tree to give oil of themselves are the old and the new covenant. And they give oil to those lamps to burn brightly that men might see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, why do you make much about these prophecies? Some of you were there, just a handful. You went to the lodge today to just sit around. Someone asked a question about Ecclesiastes 1. Said, do you see Jesus Christ in Ecclesiastes 1? Of course, I don't give people the answer. I make them explain it. Somebody else said, well, I've seen him in Ecclesiastes 3. And I said, where? So he sat down and proved. It was Jesus Christ, Ecclesiastes 1. And proved it was Jesus Christ, Ecclesiastes 2. And everybody said, well, if it's Jesus Christ, how were his bones broken? For it said that not a bone of his shall be broken. And I said, there's a little word before that. It says, he. hath broken my bones. He took him by the neck and shook him. That bothers people. But I have prophets of God that give light to Jesus Christ. That body on earth, not a bone of his was broken. That offering of the cross of his body, that sacrifice made, they never broke a bone of his. But then his soul was offered. His soul was offered in the very depths of hell. You know why I believe that? Because I had a prophet that told me that. Thou would not leave my soul in hell. And that prophet spoke that with the power of God. And that holy oil dripped off that olive tree and ran down that Old Testament pipe. And the lamp burned more brightly and illuminated that candlestick, which is Jesus Christ. And I saw Jesus Christ clearly by faith. In another place, that same prophet, old David, he said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. I was sore afraid. And I said, oh my goodness. A little bit more oil came off that olive tree and ran down that golden pipe of the Old Testament. And a lamp burned a little bit brighter.
Amen.
And I got over to Calvary. And I saw him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And a little bit of prophecy fell off that oil tree, that olive tree, and ran down that golden pipe of the New Testament. And that lamp burned a little bit brighter. And then I read Psalm 22, and that great prophet of God, David, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And many of you know my thoughts on that. Nobody's ever corrected me. If you correct me, I won't have a problem with that. If you stand up and do it now, it'll be weird. But I believe that's the heart of Jesus Christ. I believe with his lips, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And from heart to heart to his Father, deep calleth unto deep. And he said, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And that oil dripped down off that olive tree and went down those golden pipes. Went up into that lamp, and those two twain came together, the Old and the New Testament. And that lamp burned brightly, and behind that lamp I saw the Son of God glorified and magnified. And I saw him in holiness and godliness by the Spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. God works in that, and God moves in that, and God stirs in that.
Glory to God.
One of the young ladies today had to explain a type versus the literal, the prophecy. And she took it graciously. Daniel chapter 6. And I said, well, I said, it's not Jesus Christ prophesying. But Daniel kept himself pure. Daniel kept himself clean. And I said, that absolutely is a type of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because these young people are looking in the scriptures. They're looking in the laws of God. They're looking in the Moses law, trying to find Jesus Christ. He went down to that tabernacle. So we know old Trevor Montgomery. He went down there to the tabernacle in Lancaster. I asked Trevor, I said, how was it? Trevor goes, it was pretty good. I mean, they had a lot of things wrong, but it was pretty good.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
How do you know that? Because the law of God. Amen. Amen. You read about that candlestick, you'll find out real quick what that candlestick's all about. And somebody's not going to pull a counterfeit on you. We got young people reading the Psalms. Got people contacting me probably 3 or 4 times a week about Psalms. Is this? Can this be? Will this be? Is this Christ? Do you see Christ? Brother Morey contacted me this morning. He said, brother, I don't want to go. He said this already. He said, I don't want to go too far with this. I said, Brother Dale, I said, the only way you'll go too far is that if you grieve God. And you'll know if you grieve God. Amen. People say, well, McVeigh's gone too far. Hey, if you think God's been grieved in this preaching this week, my friend, I would say, hey, it's nothing to do with Tim McVeigh. It has to do with the power of God and the Word of God. And if you think God is grieved, it's because you don't know the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I haven't gone nearly far enough.
That's
right. You keep going.
Ooh. Say, well, I just don't believe that.
Oh boy.
The lamp gets dim. Well, that's the grave.
Yeah.
Look up here. The lamp goes out.
That's right.
You think this scripture is just filler?
Come on, brother.
Well, that's just not for us to figure out. I'm going to die trying, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't figure it out, one of these days I'll figure it all out.
That's right.
People say, you know, well, I know things when I get to heaven. And, you know, I know about this and know about this. Who in the world's worried about that?
That's right.
You'll be with the Word of God.
Amen.
You'll have perfect understanding. And you won't have to go, oh, that's Jesus Christ. You'll say, that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
How are you going to see him? Through seven lamps burn before the throne of God.
Good, brother.
And they give light over unto it.
That's right.
That candlestick. That old leper. Well, let's just go back to Leviticus 14. I don't know what else to preach, and I'm nervous, and it's dead as a hammer. I pull out Leviticus 14. Because if you can't see Jesus Christ in Leviticus 14, you got some serious spiritual help you need. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and this is a wonderful statement, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. What a wonderful day.
Oh, amen.
Separated from God, outside the camp, and now it's the day of his cleansing. Let me ask you a question. The day you got saved, if you had known you would get saved that day, wouldn't you have done things a little different?
Oh, yes.
I would have had a cake. I would have had me some ice cream. Big old bucket. And listen, not even keto. Amen. I would have had me a big bucket of fried chicken. Had Peter grilling steaks.
Amen.
Folks say, what's going on over there? I say, well, this is the day of my cleansing. I'm going to be clean this day. I'm going to be washed from my sin this day. I'm never going to be the same. I get to go back inside the camp. I get to go back into the house of God. I get to go in
yes.
and offer sacrifice of praise unto him
yes.
that is worthy of all praise.
Hallelujah.
This is the day of my cleansing. Oh, happy day. He shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look. By the way, Jesus Christ always finds you outside of the camp.
Yeah, right.
When he cleanses you, when he does, he brings you on back in the camp.
Amen. Amen.
Teach you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Make you a new creature. Wash you from all. Wash us in his own blood. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now notice this. We're in the law of God. This is the law. This is Moses' law. And that's for the living bird. It shall take in the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And by the way, when you exhaust those sevens in the Bible, call me and let me know what you found, okay? Amen. Seven eyes, seven candlesticks, seven stars. Okay. Hey, listen, my friend, seven spirits of God. Seven times he sprinkles that blood. Always in accordance with Jesus Christ,
right.
The law of God. He said, how does that give light? Well, the priest takes one of those birds in an earthen vessel. What is that earthen vessel? It's flesh. It's Jesus Christ made flesh.
Amen.
It's the body of God. What's the running water? Well, theologians can debate all they want. It's the Word of God. And he took that earthen vessel, and he took that bird, and he was killed in that earthen vessel over running water. And then what did he do? He took that living bird in the cedar wood. That's the cross, by the way. He bound us to the cross. I am crucified with Christ. And the scarlet and the hyssop. And shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And then what does he do? He sprinkles it upon the leper for the day of his cleansing. And the light shines just a little bit brighter. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Leviticus 4 in that great law of God. Verse 8 of Leviticus 4. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys it shall he, and notice this, take away. As it was taken from off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. Now, I know we're looking at a picture. I know what we're dealing with here. But I want you to notice he took the inwards out and he burnt them. Then he took the body, the skin of the bullock, all his flesh with his head, with his legs, his inwards, his dung. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp into a clean place. Why? It's a new tomb where no man's ever laid. It's a clean place outside the camp. And the body of Jesus Christ was laid in that clean tomb outside the camp after his soul had been cleaved asunder. His reins had been cleaved asunder. He doth not spare.
Yes.
And his soul was made an offering for sin.
Holy.
On the altar of the burnt offering.
Yes.
And that lamp burns a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
And what we preached last night, and I'm not going to re-preach it, although I probably could kind of enjoy it myself, to be honest, not because of me, but because of the Word of God. But this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And he delivered him. And he drew him out of many waters. He restored his soul. Gave him grass. Gave him water. Renewed him. And after 3 days and three nights, that which is outside the camp in a clean place came up. That soul came up. Jesus Christ was resurrected. How do you put all these pieces together? Oil. That oil goes down those golden pipes. And it goes to those golden lamps. Upon that golden candlestick. And that light shines brighter. Let's go to the Psalms. My goodness, couldn't preach a message and not preach a song.
Amen.
I don't know which one to go to. I can just pick one randomly, I guess, but I'm trying to find a particular one. Let's go to Psalm 45. We'll just read a little bit about Hebrews here. And verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And just in case you're wondering, he anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He hath anointed me with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You say, who is that? All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Who's he speaking of? The Savior. That one that left glory. That one that left heaven. Left the Father. Came to this earth to be born of a woman. Made of a woman, made under the law. Why? You and I, which are under the law, might receive the adoption of sons. And that lamp just flickers a little bit brighter. It shines brighter. It's Psalm 84, I believe it is. O amiable of thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This is the chief musician of one. Get to the psalm for the sons of Korah. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. What are the courts of the Lord? That's where those ivory palaces are. He's longing for them. He's come down to earth to save us. He's longing for those courts. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And if you're not convinced, verse 3, you'll help. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Let's go to Luke 9. Verse 57. And it came to pass as he went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The sparrows have nests, but the Son of Man does not. The light shines brighter and brighter and brighter. The law and the prophets. We run a quick exercise. I'll be done. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. So we started a little bit earlier. We'll just reiterate. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Book of Luke, chapter 16, very serious. In verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. But then he goes to the end of the chapter. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. How do they do that? That golden oil, the golden pipes, going to those seven lamps of gold that burn in the tabernacle of God eternally. Give light into the candlestick. But they will not believe the law and the prophets. And they cannot see Christ. They've snuffed out that light. They say, you've gone too far. You're seeing something that's not there. I'd rather see something that's not there than not see something that is.
Amen.
Lest I miss God.
Go ahead.
Verse 30 said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one win to them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Do you know what he's saying there? If Jesus Christ himself walked into this congregation, said, I am that I am, and called you to repentance, if you don't believe the law and the prophets, you won't believe him. Why do men follow a false Christ? They don't believe the law and the prophets. Why are you lost? You don't believe the law and the prophets. What is it about that law we don't believe? Many times we don't believe it's us. We believe we're above the law. When the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. We don't think it's us. It doesn't apply to us. The law and the prophets. And then Luke 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Good.
If I said it once, I've said it a thousand times. They were there for a long time. Because in the volume of the book, it is written.
Yes, sir.
All the things. And you know the marvel is? They still didn't understand. But then in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Amen.
That's the miracle of the new birth.
Yes.
He said, I don't see these things you've preached. You can't. Until those seven spirits of God take up residence in your life and begin to feast off that oil from those two olive trees. And these two golden pipes, that old and that new, begin to pump that oil into those lamps. And that lamp shines brighter. And all of a sudden, you'll see the candlestick. And you'll know it's Jesus Christ. And he'll appear brighter than he's ever appeared. So why do people shout and leap and run and make much ado? If you saw him like I saw him, sometimes you would too. Was dead in trespasses and sins, on my way to hell, lost without hope in this world. The word of God came to me. He revealed Jesus Christ to me, and I wrestled. Oh, how I wrestled. God to bring me under condemnation, but I would not come into condemnation. No, that's not me. That's not me. That's not. And God in his mercy showed me what I was. Yeah. And I fell at his feet as dead. Yeah. And then he touched me. And said, arise.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And when I saw him, I didn't see Moses and the prophets anymore.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't see the cloud anymore. The only person standing there was Jesus Christ. And my life's never been the same.
Amen.
I see him by faith.
Amen.
I see him by the scriptures. And his desire is that you would too. That you would let him open your understanding. We've had testimony. My wife said, it's almost like a popular thing now. I said, well, it's just people's testimony. The young lady got saved under the law of God concerning her rebellion against her parents, cursing her father and mother. She never cursed, but her heart did.
Yeah.
And the lady that spoke did not believe in the words of God, that God certainly could not save her out of the Old Testament. As though God's so weak. So helpless.
Yeah, that's something.
God's got to save you on your terms. I will only be saved out of Romans 10:13, or I'll die trying. I don't know why you got saved. I got saved in this.
Yeah, that's right.
You say chapter and verse. Well, let me begin the start of it. In the beginning, God. Amen. Let me tell you how it ends. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Another person spoke and getting saved. God revealed a scripture to them they did not believe. I'm not trying to toot his horn because, God forbid, Christmas is bad enough as it is. Don't need to add Timothy to the mix. Pastor Black, I'm dropping a big hint. Thanksgiving's already torture. Don't need Timothy there. Got stuck with Audie a couple years ago. It's never been the same. The Black family's weeping 10 years ago when they had to have me for Thanksgiving. The biggest turkey they ever had at the table. Remember young Timothy sitting on the front row of the church, I don't know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I remember he came to his feet. But Dale, I believe you were sitting next to him. I don't see you. Said, I believe. I believe God.
Hallelujah.
I believe God.
Hey.
It's been about 20 months. No, 18 months. You still believe God?
Yes, sir.
Has he ever changed?
No, sir.
You see him clearer than you've ever seen?
Yes, sir.
You might have it. God's done for others. He wants to do for you. Listen, I don't have a lot of stump speeches because, you know, I'm just pretty much a mess, a train wreck. But I'll go to Psalm 77 to close. You say, why do you do that? Well, if something works, go back to it. I spoke around North Carolina 6 hours to say about 5 words. I know you all don't believe that was true. I watched a man get rid of some of that old sin this life, purging, retching on the altar, sobbing uncontrollably, covering the altar with tears and mucus, his agony over his soul. 1.5 years later, it's preached in July, a service about half dead. He said, you know, I don't like your methods. Well, you really won't like this one. We gave out Twinkies. John Asper said, some people give out Bibles, McVeigh gives out Twinkies. Didn't grieve God one bit, did it?
No, sir.
They were on clearance at Food Lion. Red, white, and blue. Every once in a while, I'll send Michael a picture of a ho-ho, red, white, and blue ho-ho, or a tasty cake or something. He'll go, nope, that won't work. We threw out Twinkies in the service. Psalms of Asaph, I read these 3 verses. May God open your eyes. I cried unto God with my voice, even to God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, as we said, I believe, 3 nights ago. What did he say when his spirit was overwhelmed? my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mike's wife, Tanya, got saved Sunday afternoon. He told me Friday of these things. And he said, Brother McVeigh, you were reading Psalm 77 on Tuesday night. And he said, for the first time in my life, I saw Jesus Christ. And he said, God saved me. P. Amos Cornelius was in that meeting. It was a Friday night.
Yes, sir.
P. Amos Cornelius said, God opened his eyes, awakened him to the need through the law of God.
Amen.
The law and the prophets ever given oil from themselves, from themselves, from themselves. I cannot utter it enough to themselves. They send it through those golden pipes and those golden lamps. And Jesus Christ receives that light. The men might fall down and worship him. They might bow the knee to him. That they might love him and adore him. When they see that beaten work, they realize he was beaten for them. When they see the nail-pierced hands, the nail-pierced feet, the speared side, they say, all that he did for me. They'll see that crown of thorns upon his head. They'll say, he did that for me. They'll see the hair plucked off of his face. And they'll say, he did that for me. And then they'll see his soul offered in the very depths of hell. And they'll say, oh, my soul, he did that for me. I'm going to quote again with Dale Morey. Many of you heard me say this. You've heard him say it. Jesus Christ didn't take our cross because you and I were never bound for a cross. But he took our hell because every one of us was bound for hell.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you see him there? Do you see him suffering for you?
Yes, sir.
Do you see a soul being offered for you?
Oh.
And you can't get over your pride.
Oh,
you can't get over your religious ideals and religious philosophies. Oh, and see what Christ has truly done for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
They mocked him. And you can't even handle mocking.
Right.
They cursed him. You can't handle cursing. Then they smote him. They wounded him. They beat him. But then darkness came upon the face of the earth. The great God of glory came down. And there's his son, bloody and beaten, hanging on a cross. Everything man could do to him and wounding him and despising him. Great God of heaven came down and shook him to pieces and ran upon him like a giant, cleaved his reins asunder. He poured out all of his wrath and all of his judgment upon his own dear son. It is in that darkest hour of Psalm 77 that he cried, my God, my God. But do you really believe that? Or is it just another story? The term was used this morning to flannel graph Jesus. I don't have a flannel graph. I have the true and living God in my heart. And he's changed me inside. He's revealed himself to me through the word of God. And how I thank him and how I praise him. And I love him for it. Bless his holy, holy name. my wife Rebecca. We'll never do this. I want you to come play a song. Can we have you a hymnal, please? Listen, I can't sing on a good day, and this is not a good day. But you'll help me. I want to sing page 32.